Welcome to the Midday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and we'll have that quiz question at 12:30. It looks like an easy one today, so have at. You just might win the prize. And between now and then, we have conversation, we have music, and both of them will come from members of the Imani Winds, which is a quintet, and we have 40% of it right here in the form of flutist Valerie Coleman, flutist and composer, I guess I should say, right?
Yes.
And bassoonist Monica Ellis. Welcome.
Thank you.
They'll be performing, the entire group will be performing, I'll say, under the aegis of the Wisconsin Union Theater. Since the theater itself is under reconstruction, the actual concert will take place very nearby, Mills Concert Hall, also on the campus of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And it's tomorrow night, that's the 28th, at 8 o'clock at Mills. But it is a Wisconsin Union Theater production, and the group, all five of them, hail from New York. And what's the backstory there?
Well, we all actually hail from different parts of the country, and we did grad school in New York. I, Valerie, am from Louisville, Kentucky. Monica here is from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Toyin Spellman, the oboist, is from D.C., Washington, D.C. And Miriam Adam is from California. And Jeff Scott, the horn player, is the only New York native. He hails from Queens.
Close enough. And what prompted you to create this ensemble that has, I'm going to say, a mission statement? Is that kind of a given these days when you form a musical group, that you're going to say, this is our strategy, this is what we want to accomplish, other than just playing music together?
Well, I think nowadays it is, because the pool of chamber music ensembles has really risen, in the last several years. It always has been a vital part of classical music, but chamber music ensembles really has been on the rise. I think you do have to have a particular purpose. You have to be able to say something special with your platform. And so with our case, it was Valerie's idea, actually, to put together this configuration of instruments. But what was more of an experiment than anything else was seeing if our similar heritages as African-American and Latino musicians would actually result in the music being interpreted a certain way. And what that has interestingly evolved into over the last 16 years is, as what she just said this morning, actually, we feel like we've become musicians of the world in a lot of ways, that although we're very proud of who we are, it has somewhat gone to the back burner, and the music is now truly speaking for itself.
And I guess it's speaking loud and clear. You got a Grammy nomination not too long ago.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You've really just begun. You have how many? Well, it's a total of what, 12? 10 years?
16.
16?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. The beginning of the 16th season is right now.
So you have a very clear idea of who you are and how you want to expand your repertory and maybe the repertory of your audiences.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would always say that we are constantly evolving within that regard. I think there are many different genres and elements that have influenced how we've interpreted music, from Motown and Michael Jackson all the way up to the Rite of Spring. But over the years, we've just learned that our music tastes change. And with five different personalities, we're always bringing in something new. So 16 years of constant evolution, which I think keeps it fresh.
Mm-hmm. So is this your day job?
It is our day job.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We moonlight in other areas, but this for sure has become the primary source, not only of our income, but of our minds, our focuses, all of the above. Of course, Valerie is a tremendous composer, and so she and Jeff both contribute on the composition side, and that, I would say, probably it takes a second place even to the group itself.
Now, are labels as important as they used to be? The image that some of us would have would be, if you go into a CD store and you see classical and you see rock and you see R&B and once upon a time you see big bands. How important is that? And do you feel that you have to say, after Imani Winds, we are this blank kind of ensemble?
I think this is something that within the group and within the camp of Imani Winds, something that we've always discussed, because at the core, we're classical musicians, but we do like to bring different sounds into what is considered a standard configuration of wind quintet, we always feel like that is the future of American music. So I would say at the core, yes, we are classical musicians that bring in elements of different genres to create original sounds.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll start with something classical then from your CD, which is called, imagine this, well, Imani Wins, Side B. Kind of a retro title there.
Motown, what did I tell you?
And this first thing on here is actually a 20th and an 18th century piece because it's Ravel in the 20th century, but he's looking back to 18th century forms mm-hmm. in the day of François Couperin.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a prelude. And who did the Mason Jones did the
Mason Jones, famed French hornist of the Philadelphia mm-hmm. wind quintet back in the 50s. And so it's actually one of the standard pieces nowadays for wind quintet.
And this is the prelude from Le Tombeau de Couperin by Ravel, played by Imani Wins. That was the prelude from Tombeau de Couperin by Ravel. Originally, we decided for piano and then orchestrated by Ravel, and then here in an arrangement by Mason Jones and performed by Imani Wins, two of whom are with us today during the midday. Do you listen to your CDs very often? Do you get a chance to do that? Is it something you would avoid or something you just would...
I never listen to it. You've got other things to do.
You know, every now and then, when you get the urge to do so, you do it. But I think that whenever it comes up on the shuffle of our iPods, we kind of go to the next track.
Fast forward, yeah. I actually have now taken it off of my, I mean, it's
neither
on iTunes,
yeah.
too, but I've completely taken it off, so it's not even in the mix.
Yeah, oh.
You know, it's for me personally, we just, you know, slave over the every last detail of when it's after the recording process of the editing, and this little note here can be better. Can we find a better take
sure.
of that entrance? And then once it's done, for me, it's kind of like, that's that. And I've heard it. Let someone else enjoy it. I honestly don't need to listen to it again.
Well, that's what we're here for, is to, you know, counteract that tendency
exactly.
for the sake of artistic growth.
This is why we need public radio.
Yes, I hope we got that recorded for the pledge drive coming
there
up
you go.
Next week. Well, quite a variety on this particular CD. And this is, you have how many out now?
Six
CDs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are there any that are purely classical or purely something else, or are they all kind of a mix?
Well, I'd say a couple of them are very strongly theme-based. There's one that is Josephine Baker about her history,
oh, yeah.
and you know, we pluck some. Oh, it was such a great experience for us to work with dancers and singers and drummers, and you can hear all of that, including the dancer on there tapping. Just kidding. No, you can hear all of that. It's been done. On the album, but it is more of a cabaret type of thing, so you don't hear the classical side as much. Another theme-based album is Terra Incognita, which features a piece that was written for us by Paquito de Rivera, Wayne Shorter, and Jason Moran, all of which have, you know, long legacy.
So are we going to say jazz then for that one, or no?
It's jazz. It's kind of like what Valerie was saying earlier, that the influences that mm-hmm. have now permeated Imani Wins is evident in that album, because it's all by jazz composers, as she mentioned, but coming from it in a classical approach. However, Paquito plays on the piece that he wrote with us mm-hmm. on that album, and of course Paquito de Rivera could not be in the room without him completely blowing and killing the solos, you know. So yeah, so there's definitely jazz elements. Then there's our Christmas album, which we have a Christmas album, which I can't believe now it's time to start talking about Christmas.
What, is this a new one, you mean?
It came out a few years ago. It's about 4 years old now. And once again, Valerie and Jeff just knocked it out the park with these awesome arrangements of Christmas tunes that you would hear it not expect, and lots of
compliments
jazz.
Are our paychecks.
Yeah, well, right,
I mean,
right.
Many an artist has done that.
In that case, I continue.
I love it.
Yeah, a lot of jazz influence there. We had a trio jazz, piano, bass, and drums trio that joined us for the Christmas record. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, speaking of having the composer in the room, we do have the composer in the room for this concerto, and that would be our very own Valerie Coleman with the Imani Winds. And what about this miniature concerto, I'll call it?
Well, it's a very unusual piece. I'd say, something unlike any other Afro-Cuban garden variety wind quintet. It came about several years ago when Imani Winds just started out. Brooklyn Philharmonic came up to us and said, we want you guys to solo with us. And we thought, great, what a wonderful opportunity. And then they said, by the way, do you happen to have any Afro-Cuban concertos? And so naturally we didn't. But of course, right? But it put the light bulb on in my head, and I created a version that we could tour as a point of departure. And then the orchestral version came as an after fact. But when it says concerto, it basically means just that. It's all the instruments in the orchestra wrapped up into a wind quintet that could. Percussion, brass, all of that, because I think Imani Winds prides itself in its ability to change colors and become much more than just a flute, clarinet, bassoon, oboe, French horn. So you're going to hear that, and you're going to hear Afro-Cuban rhythms brought to these woodwind instruments. There's a thing that we always like to do in the concert stage called polyrhythms, where we'll play the rhythm, the clave, and then we'll have the audience clap to where they think the beat is.
Oh, that's fun. I've seen that done, and it, you ever get some that are not so good at it?
We try not to discourage in that way, but the truth of the matter is, people come with different rhythms, and that is the beauty of polyrhythms within itself, because you can't really tell where the pulse is, or you can tell that the pulse is all around the place with different emphases.
Facets.
So we'll hear some of this. The third movement, actually, of your concerto, third of four?
Yes. Third of three.
Third of three. Okay, so more in the Baroque three-movement concerto tradition.
Danza. That's about as Baroque as it's going to get.
Mm-hmm. By Valerie Coleman, and this is Imani Winds. So let's see, is there ever more than three rhythms going at once there? Is that enough, probably, to keep up with?
The composite makes up another one.
Well, we got five instruments, so
right.
Possibilities.
A lot of syncopation there in Danza, the third and final movement of the concerto by one of my guests today, Valerie Coleman, also the flutist with Imani Winds, and with me also bassoonist Monica Ellis, and a little bit more about them and upcoming performance, etc. And, of course, we'll have the quiz question, too, in a few minutes here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Imani Winds is a quintet. They're playing, under the aegis of the Wisconsin Union Theater in Mills Concert Hall, UW-Madison campus, tomorrow night. That's Friday night, the 28th, at 8 o'clock. And two of the five are here, Valerie Coleman, flutist and composer, and bassoonist Monica Ellis. And we have one more from their CD, the name of which is Side B. There is also an A side, however, all on one convenient disc, and it includes something by Piazzolla. Did you have fun doing Piazzolla?
Always. Jeff is a lover of his music for many years, and he said, we got to have some fun with it. So he's composed, arranged many of Piazzolla original pieces for the group, and Libre Tango is definitely one of our signature ones.
And the crowd loved it. Libre Tango by Astor Piazzolla, played by Imani Wins, and it's on their B-side CD. Thanks for joining me today for the midday.
Pleasure. Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be back in Madison.
Monica Ellis is the bassoonist and the flutist and composer also for the group, Valerie Coleman, and the quintet will be performing Mills Concert Hall tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. Glad to have you here.